Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Previously on Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
That was a perfect plan right up until that very first ball.
England would do a lot better if the Australians were 100 kilometres from their bat, wouldn't they?
If you saw the skit, you don't have to go see the new Spider-Man movie.
He had a limit of 2 metres or something like that, and while they're chatting about it, he appears in the background of the shot, fist pumping some dude.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sense. You put down all the talent to get you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. So you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where we learned that England planned for losing a wicket to the first ball of the series, meaning Australia fell right into their cunning trap. This is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Oh, he's bowling around his legs. He's out bowled round the back of his legs. This ball is swinging around.
So you are here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke in the Can't Bowl, Can't Throw podcast. And we listened to that clip last week, didn't we, Dan?
Yeah, that was the fake commentary of Rory Burns being bowled first ball by Mitchell Stark, the Tony Gregified version of it.
Yep.
This week England, as you mentioned, confirmed that was something they'd planned for. Is this something else for which Shane Warne will be able to criticise Mitchell Stark, the fact that he foolishly bowled Rory Burns when this was something that England wanted him to do?
It's incredible that they planned for this. Yep. And I wonder if they planned for it in the second test, because it didn't come off for them the second time, did it?
No, it didn't come off, which they'll be disappointed by. But they have planned for all kinds of setbacks on this tour. So apart from, not being bowled first ball in the second test, they must be very happy with how well everything's going for them.
They certainly seem happy, because Silverwood has said that they're going to pick exactly the same team for Melbourne.
Yep. Yep.
And spoiler alert, they may not be very good. Anyway, to quote MJ from Spider-Man, because we quote Spider-Man every podcast, if you expect disappointment, then you can never really be disappointed.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
So lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the second Ashes test.
And we only barely had time to watch it, didn't we? Because it went all the way to the dying throes of the fifth day, which is glorious.
And it was late at night as well, which was a little bit of a struggle to stay up. Convenient for England fans, of course, but less so for us. And it started kind of dramatically as well, with Pat Cummins being ruled out for being a close COVID contact. And we'll be coming back to Pat in one of our new segments later in the episode.
That's
so we
right.
won't go too much into that.
We won't go into it now. We've got to wait for that thought to go get a COVID test and come back later.
Exactly. Yes. So instead we had Steve Smith returning to the captaincy, which was a little bit exciting.
Yeah.
And so he went with the exact same plan that he went with 4 years ago, which was to bat for a day and two sessions and then make England melt under the hot Adelaide sun and cash in after that.
Good tactics. Only this time he had Marnus.
He did have Marnus. Marnus was there. Marnus was helped along by Joss Butler, who managed to drop him a couple of times, including a sitter in the final over of day one. And England also somehow stuffed it up again. They probably planned for this, but they did fall behind the over rate again.
Yes, indeed.
I do think you could just increase over rates by playing Benny Hill theme music all day. They were just, you know, all you need is like 10% faster, a little bit of Benny Hill music. They wouldn't be able to help themselves.
And people are used to shit-ass music at the cricket exactly. with the Barmy Army. I don't think anyone would really complain.
The Barmy Army trumpeter could play the Benny Hill music or they could get a saxophonist in there to do it. Something, yeah.
Is it saxophone, is it?
In the original Benny Hill thing, yeah, it's sax.
You know far too much about the
music. I used to play the saxophone, so I used to play that music. So I could be subbed in at Melbourne.
Next podcast, we'll be getting you to play that. Yes. Manus, I believe, scored 4 for 103.
Yes.
You got to keep track of the number of missed chances in his century.
Yeah, yeah. It was very similar to Dave Warner's first test knock. Mm. A lot of chances, but a lot of runs as well.
And a lot of no balls too this time, again. At one point, the no-ball count was, you know, England was 20 no-balls, Australia 0, but Australia started to catch up.
To fight back, yeah, which is weird because we were assured by England that, you know, if they had known about the overstepping, they would have been able to correct it. That was the only reason Ben Stokes overstepped when he got David Warner out.
Yes, so very strange. Yes. Yeah, very weird. Yeah, indeed.
Anyway, as mentioned with these overrate fines, that meant, or the threat that the ECB might go into bankruptcy with all the fines that they were tallying up. Joe Root had to bowl at times when England had about several zillion fast, medium, right-hand bowlers, and they would probably like them to bowl under lights. Instead, they had Joe Root bowling so that they didn't get forced to pay more money.
He was their frontline spinner.
He definitely was. Mm. And at one point, Sir Swamp Thing on Twitter pointed out that we had the number one ranked test batter in the world bowling to the number two and number three ranked.
Oh, that's glorious.
Which is very nice.
Yeah, that's quantity over quality, getting those overrates in.
Yes.
Speaking of quantity over quality, I have four podcasts in my feed that are doing daily Ashes podcasts. Can you believe it?
That's a lot of podcasting.
Well, if it goes 5 days, that's 20
bonus podcasts for you to listen to.
All with unique content.
Yeah. We're struggling to get weekly podcasts in.
I thought we would do. Anyway, they're absolute heroes. I thank every one of them for those daily podcasts.
Yeah. Well, they could probably work out some kind of schedule where one could do the first day, the second one could do the second day and so on. That would make more sense.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes. Basically, we had, so as mentioned, Smith declared on day two just as the sun was going down. So as Australia took 2 wickets under lights before lightning stopped play. And a lot of people might have forgiven Steve Smith for sandpaper gate, saying, you know, he's done his time. But actual lightning striking an actual church just outside the ground during his first session leading the team in the field, that feels like divine disapproval to me.
It does a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, England didn't do anything as you'd expect. They fell way behind. But Steve Smith didn't enforce the follow-on.
Well, he always wants to bat, right?
Yeah. So
he wants to bat even when England gets a turn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he batted again. He didn't make many runs. He was almost out twice in the first two balls. Dropped, of course, by Jos Buller again.
Yeah.
First ball, and then a reprieve from a very tight LBW shout.
Yep.
But that wasn't really the highlight of that fourth day, was it? The highlight was Joe Root.
Yes. Joe Root getting hit in the nets, or rather hit in the nuts.
Yes.
And then, which of course everyone calls an abdominal
injury.
And then everyone gradually, the penny drops gradually that's not what it is at all.
Yes. But as you pointed out, it did mean that England lost their top spinner as Australia were batting on in this second innings. But that meant Ollie Robinson became the head spinner for some reason that no one has quite explained to me yet.
Yes. Well, I mean, he's generally doing fast or medium paces or whatever. But I mean, this is what fast bowling parents do in the backyard, Dan, when the toddler has her turn at batting. Mm. So do you think he got disorientated to time and place, or do you think he was just bowling to Dave Warner?
Well, I thought you were going to say Cameron Green. Cameron Green has a baby face, but the fact that the baby face is like 7 feet off the ground probably gives the hint away that you're not bowling to a toddler. So.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Anyway, England had to chase a zillion in the final innings of the match, or, you know, more realistically, they had to bat out the final day to salvage the draw. And they almost got there, didn't they?
Yeah. So, you know, Joss Butler dragging the rest of the team.
Yes.
Sort of, they didn't want a bat, but he did. He was the one who was continuing.
He didn't really even want a bat, did he? He wanted to defend and leave and just hang around as long as possible, which is a form of batting, but it's not a form of batting that you usually associate with Joss Butler.
No, it was glorious. So,
yeah.
Best batter in the side by far.
Clearly. So he faced more than 200 balls. He scored 25 runs, which sadly for Joss meant that his test average went down after that heroic innings ended with him treading on his stumps.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
Okay, my 2021-22 Ashes screenplay continues. So in the second test, which I've just finished, we had Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood playing Call of Duty 12, Bust a Move.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Ollie Pope talking to God and a Seinfeld / Back to the Future / Groundhog Day mashup that ended with Joe Root trapped in a time loop. So lots of weird and strange things happening on the screenplay.
That's right. It's a sport genre mashup with science fiction and a little bit of religious...
overdose.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I also like George Bailey joining in on
the computer games.
Call of Duty. Will there be other cameos joining?
Almost certainly, yes. There's going to be there'll be bonus scenes, another bonus scene probably coming out by the time you've listened to this episode.
Yep.
And you can access those bonus scenes by spending $3 over at patreon.com/leavecricket. So I'd recommend doing that. You don't get just the next bonus scene, you get all the other ones as well.
Can I spend an extra money on Patreon to play Call of Duty with Pat?
Yes, you can. Yes, that's definitely
an
option.
Is that a feature?
This is Pat Cummins. This is Australia. Absolutely at their best. The perfect delivery.
So this is a new segment called Pat Chat.
Oh, what a wonderful little sting you've done for that. That's glorious.
Yes, perfect Pat. And as we mentioned, he was ruled out of this test for being a close contact.
No, nothing perfect about that.
No, very imperfect.
Yeah, indeed.
So what was the story behind Pat's close contact?
Well, he went into a restaurant wisely, sitting inside out of the sunshine so that he doesn't get sunburnt. And we had other members of the Australian team sitting outside.
Yeah, so Nathan Lyon and Mitchell Starc were sitting outside, and it was later revealed that they'd texted Cummins, but he didn't reply to them, and they took this as a piss take. So at one point, Mitchell Starc said to newspapers, "It was fortunate we were sitting outside. It was almost a bit of a piss take because Pat didn't reply to our message, so we thought we'd sit away from him outside. It was a lucky one." Was that a piss take?
Well, I guess they were supposed to meet him, and they thought they were leaving him on his own inside the restaurant.
Yeah, maybe. I just like the idea that Pat's ghosted them and just said, "Nah, I don't want to sit with you guys."
I think the piss take was them sitting outside, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not exactly sure. I thought the piss take was Pat just pretending not to have got their message.
Anyway, what are the odds? Did you work out the odds here?
Well, yeah.
Is there a crick viz on the odds or a win viz on
there should be. It was very low because I did check the numbers. There were 25 confirmed cases that day from about 19,000 tests among 1.8 million South Australians.
Wow.
And Pat Cummins just happened to be sitting next to one of them. So it was a little unlucky for Cummins.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, that's and people on Twitter or Ben Gardner were saying, this is why fast bowlers should never be captains, because the risk of them having to miss tests due to being identified as close contacts is just too high.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we did also enjoy someone tracked down the Instagram bio for the restaurant that he was at, and the Instagram bio read, "You won't regret it." So they may have to change that slogan, I think.
Oh, yeah. And also other people were making early predictions for player of the match at Adelaide. It still could have been either Pat Cummins or the guy sitting next to Pat Cummins in the restaurant.
So, well, England would have planned for this kind of setback, but I'm not sure Australia did. They had to come up with a plan on the fly to keep Pat Cummins in optimum shape during his strict quarantine. And I figured that if they're trying to keep Pat Cummins in optimum shape, it should be called Project Opta Cummins, surely.
Oh, yes. That's a great name, definitely.
And they revealed during the test part one of that plan. And that plan was that the quarantine that they were trying to have them avoid wouldn't be as strict as advertised. Instead, he would be allowed to just leave South Australia and fly back to New South Wales.
Okay.
They didn't make it clear at first whether he'd be flying under his own power, or but they did later clarify he'd be in a chartered plane.
Put a jet back on him.
Yeah.
I think that's safe because it's obviously a bit dangerous to be in South Australia. The chances of getting COVID are quite high.
Yep. So Pat was out of there. He's back in New South Wales and he'll be in Melbourne for the third test.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Mm.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
This is the Moeller Award for underappreciated and underrated acts in the world of cricket during the week, and we have thousands this time, Dan.
We do have millions. I'm going to start with Fox Cricket's shocking spelling. Because somebody took the Cricket Australia statement about Pat Cummins, copy-pasted it into a graphic that they could tweet out, and then for some reason decided that they would correct the spelling of separate to separate with an E in the middle instead of an A.
Wow.
So they're basically Mitchell Starc and Nathan Lyon were dining at the same restaurant but at a separate table outdoors. So how are you that bad at spelling but not know that you're that bad at spelling?
If your job is a broadcast technician and you're putting words up on a screen, did the position description say something like you must be able to spell? I mean, you should have been able to rule people out of that job by the application letter, right?
Yes, definitely.
I've had three separate jobs as a Chiron operator in the last 12 months. Not sure why I was let go, yeah, for example.
Definitely.
And then you can just put that in the no pile.
Yep, very easily.
I've recruited for jobs where spelling is not required and put things in the no pile based on spelling.
Yeah, fair enough too. What else have we got here in the
this one is already my favourite one. This is Mike Hussey's Christmas or his potential Christmas because he, again, we're in the Foxtel commentary box, spelt F-O-K-S.
Yes.
Meanwhile, so we've got Mike Hussey declaring out of nowhere that because of Western Australia's border rules, he wouldn't be going home for Christmas. He wouldn't be allowed home till February. And then immediately kind of awkward scenes where Shane Warne's inviting Huss home for Christmas, right? Yep. Apparently Michael Vaughan was going to be
there. Yeah, Michael Vaughan's going to be there as well, which is just like doubling down on the hellish nature of it. So, yeah. Very, very strange. So Mike Hussey just had to fumble out this kind of very awkward, we'll have to see how we go. Warnie, thanks so much for the offer. Really appreciate it.
He supposed to just very quickly, I've got other plans.
Yeah. So presumably his other plans are, you know, all the hotels will be closed. He'll be like in a stable, being visited by three wise QuickViz analysts or something.
Yeah. Oh, well. Be good.
Yes. Anyway, I think I'd like to see a Netflix series called Homeless Huss.
Oh, yes.
And I don't particularly care what the genre is. It could be a reality series. It could be a sitcom or a drama or a horror. I don't care. I'm all for it. Homeless Huss.
I feel like it's a drama or a reality series.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you wouldn't watch the buddy sitcom version of Warne, Vaughan and Mr. C? Three dudes sitting around watching replays of Warnie bowling.
Yeah, it would be pretty terrible, wouldn't it? But Mike Hussey would make a fantastic straight man. You've got to give him that. So,
yeah.
What else have we got?
Okay, so we also have Elise Perry in the women's, the WNCL has commenced, and she was wandering around with wicket-keeping gloves on in the warm-up or in the break.
How intimidating is that if you're Elisa Healy to think, all right, I've locked myself in, then all of a sudden bloody Elise Perry said, oh, I'm going to keep wicket-keeping a crack.
Yep, the natural next step in her evolution, right?
Yeah.
And then this was being played in Melbourne. Mm. There was a bit of a storm that blew through and the covers were getting buffeted around everywhere. Mm. And then we spotted her in a photo just lying down on the covers to keep them down, which is really quite amazing.
So she's not just a champion fast bowler, batter, potentially wicket keeper.
Yeah.
Now she's a champion piece of covers on the ground as well.
She could be the grounds person as well.
She can do literally anything on a cricket ground.
Yep, as she should. Mm. And of course, we have another nomination from the WNCL as well. This is Georgia Vole for Queensland. She was bowled when she was about 26 by Belinda Vakaroa from Tassie.
Yep.
But
nobody appealed.
So he literally bowled that. I think the bowler might have thought that it was a stumping.
Yeah.
And the keeper had knocked the.
But the keeper should have known.
Yeah.
The keeper should definitely have known.
And isn't your main, again, you know, if you want to be a keeper and pay attention at least, Perry, if you want to be a keeper, you've got to be able to appeal for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, at least Perry would have appealed for that for sure. Yes. Anyway, so yeah, she survived. The keeper was up to the stumps. So maybe the keeper thought that she'd knocked it off with her gloves. I'm not sure. But
yes.
I mean, that's the kind of mishap that England would have prepared for, of course. But I'm not sure any of the WNCL teams.
We can look forward to that at the MCG.
Definitely.
Yep. We've got more commentary nominations.
We do, because I was quite that's tickled by Mark
Waugh.
Tyre
Muller is always just commentators, basically.
Yeah, well, we've got Mark Waugh, who is one of my favourite commentators, as we previously discussed. At one point, he described Kumar Sangakkara as, quote, a fair player. And then someone challenged him a little bit on this, said, a fair player? And he went, oh, a good player. So high praise from Mark Waugh, very, very typical from him.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, he was told that Broad was on average 38 centimetres fuller in length on the pitch than Anderson was. And he replied, what's that, half a metre? No, Mark, it's 38 centimetres.
It's not even close. Wow,
so,
fantastic.
A little bit of magic there from Mark Waugh.
And yet another nomination for commentary. Alex Carey is also mic'd up when they're playing. And whenever Fox Cricket goes to the stump mic, let's go to stump mic, Gilly, and then nothing.
Nothing
crickets.
Happens. Yeah.
He's just completely silent on the
Fox
stump mic.
Crickets. Is what they call
it
at that
indeed,
moment.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I think they just got used to Tim Payne there yammering on about nothing and saying, you know, see you at the Gabba, mate, and can't you come babysit? Alex Carey's just standing there silent as a lamb.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it's an absolute relief. And it makes Alex Carey Australia's greatest ever wicketkeeper, I think.
Yep. So continue to mic him up, please.
We also have Kevin Peterson decided to pipe in via Twitter. So he wasn't on commentary, KP, but he still had thoughts on the matter. What did he tweet out?
So he's got a tweet quote, can someone, please smack Lion, ! etc. FFS, off spinner with zero variations and bowling on world cricket's flattest road!
Yeah.
!
So a lot of people had a shot at KP about that, mostly due to his record against Nathan Lyon, which wasn't great.
And the fact that Nathan Lyon is the best spinner on that particular road.
Yes, yeah, the single most wicket or equal most wicket take wickets with Shane Warne, I think, but from fewer Test matches. But as good as that tweet was from KP, I think he trumped it a couple of days later when he tweeted out, "Please, please, please, all those pleases are in all caps." Just give these England cricketers a bit of slack. An Ashes tour is incredibly tough and these are not normal times right now. Their batting is horrendous, I know, but go easy, please. So that's a fantastic tweet from KP, who leads you down one path before dropping the hammer at the end of it.
Yeah, what a fantastic diversion there at the end.
And I think we have one more nomination to wrap this up.
Yeah, and this is Usman Khawaja, and he was sub-fielding during the test and he came on dancing, I believe. Did he dance the entire time he was on the ground?
I think so, yeah. He was dancing an awful lot of the time. The Barmy Army kind of urged him on, so he did a little bit of a jig to entertain them. And, yeah, it kind of ties in from what we know about Usman Khawaja. Remember a few years back when he dabbed and everybody got very excited about it? Yep. Like, God, look at this. What's this youngster doing?
Incredible.
So definitely one of the most entertaining cricketers in Australia, and I'd like to see him play in the Boxing Day test.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he could dance bringing out the drinks, but he actually didn't. So I'm pleased he saved it for when he was a sub-fielder. I think that's wise. You
very
want to save
wise.
Your best material for the role you want.
Mm. And as CricViz's Ben Jones pointed out, when was the last time Marcus Harris did a dance?
Yes.
So see you, Marcus. Come on in, dancing Usman
Khawaja.
Poor
old Marcus, by the way. How unlucky do you have to be caught by Butler twice?
Yeah, that's extremely unlucky. And they were both bloody good. There was no other time bloody Butler caught anything was when he was taking screamers off Marcus Harris.
Poor Marcus Harris.
Very unlucky. So whose turn is it to pick the winner here?
We've got 8 nominations. 4 of them are about commentators.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to Alex Carey just for giving our ears a rest from those commentators.
Yeah, great idea.
Good work, Alex Carey. You get the Muller for this week.
Yep. And that is truly underappreciated.
Very underappreciated. Mm. But not underappreciated by us.
No, of course not. So you've been listening to Dan Libke at Lieb Cricket and Kat Jones at Cricket Back Kat. That's where we'll be on Twitter. You can go to Dan's website, which is
leibcricket.com. That's where you can buy stuff and subscribe to Patreon and all those kind of things.
Yep. You can follow us on Twitter also at Can't Bowl Throw. And we'll be back again in a week or two.
A little bit longer. So we won't be on next week. We'll wait till after the Boxing Day test, which pretty much means we'll be back in 2022.
Yes, we will. And in the meantime, if you would like to hear us, we will also be commentating on Gorilla Cricket, which is basically White Line Wireless commentators wearing a gorilla suit. and we'll be doing a fair bit of commentary during the Melbourne test. So come and join us there at Gorilla Cricket.
Yes.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.